for me.
Yep, I'll have that on the next slide. So there is our agenda.
So welcome to everyone. Do we have any members this evening that are joining us? No new members. Everyone's been here before. Well, welcome. I'm Jennifer.
I am new.
Chairperson. Okay.
Got a new one.
You could just introduce yourself and just let us know what town you're from.
Hi, I'm Larry Nyland. I'm Larry Nyland. I'm Vice Chairman of the Glastonbury Town Council.
Welcome.
I'm Cindy Cooper. I'm from Windsor Locks. And I haven't been at a meeting in a long time because I had a prior commitment, but I'm back in full.
Welcome back, Cindy.
Thanks.
I'm Jay Stoppelman. I'm from Manchester. Been here several years now.
For those who don't know me, Chris Henschy, from Transportation Planner at CROG, and I'm the content guy who runs the show for RPC behind the scenes.
I'm Ed Merritt from Coventry Planning and Zoning.
I'm Brendan Malone, Town of Suffield, Planning and Zoning.
Jonathan T.C., Town of Canton, Planning and Zoning.
I'm Stanley Sobieski, Newington, Planning and Zoning. This will be my last meeting because I am retiring from the Planning and Zoning Board.
Aw, Stanley, we're going to miss you.
Well, I'll still, if you guys want to invite me, I'll still become. It doesn't matter.
They're open to the public. You're more than welcome to join us.
Fine, as long as you send me the link, I'll be here.
I'm Meg Harvey, Town of Windsor Planning and Zoning.
And for those who don't know me, I'm Laura Quintiliani, the administrative assistant at CROG. So, you know, just always here to help you guys out, help out Chris with whatever planning he needs for these meetings. So happy to help with anything. I think I've spoken to most of you before, so it's good to see your faces, though.
Bart Pasikonis, South Windsor Planning and Zoning.
We missed anyone, or is that everybody? Right, we got the next agenda item. So we have the minutes from our 9/23/2021 meeting. Would someone like to make a motion to approve the minutes?
Kelly Sobieski, Newington, I make a motion to approve the minutes.
This is Brendan Malone from the town of Sheffield. I make a motion to approve the to second the minutes.
Are there any further comments or corrections for the minutes? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Motion Cindy carried. Cooper. Cindy Cooper must abstain. I wasn't there.
And Jonathan T.C. abstains.
Okay, moving on to our next item on the agenda. We have a presentation from CROG staff on cannabis zoning best practices.
Okay, so this is something that I was when I sent out the little blurb back in September, this is something that was voted on pretty highly. So we've been able to compile some case studies from around from outside of Connecticut on what they've done and some quasi best practices of what has transpired. So we'll be focusing on two case studies of two from Massachusetts, both in the Connecticut River Valley, and then one in Illinois as well. I should say that I am not that I did not compile a lot of this information. We should give a hearty thank you to our intern, Narelle Ferguson, who compiled all of these, all this data and then some, to give us basically this is the presentation that you see today. So we had a great, good presentation back in June, and it was some of the new regulations that came into effect. And one of the things that came hot off the presses, as we were told, is SB 1201, an act concerning the equitable and responsible regulation of cannabis. And at that point, we didn't really know a lot about what was going to be in the law, but now we've got a lot more information that has come out since then. So the law ultimately has legalized the use of cannabis for adults over the age of 21, decriminalized possession, expunged the criminal records of thousands that were caught up on the war on drugs. For the towns, it provides an opportunity for new tax revenue with a 3% point of sale tax, which is a big deal in a lot of communities that have implemented this as. Certainly reaped the benefits of it in states where it has been legalized already. Something it also created was a social equity council that will also create workforce development programs and determine how tax revenue created by the industry can be reinvested in these communities that have been hit hard by the war on drugs. One of the things that we have learned that they're starting to move on what that framework is going to look like. No detail. I've not seen any details on it yet, but it looks like that is going to be known probably in the next couple of weeks, maybe a month or so. The revenue created from this would go to purposes such as mental health and addiction services, youth services, streetscape improvements, and other tangible community development benefits. And this, it gave the municipalities the power to regulate the sale and use of cannabis and allows for a local referendum on allowing the sale of cannabis if 10% of voters sign a petition. So a little bit more on that social equity council that I mentioned earlier, where they are currently going through and creating this framework. So to speak, of what's of equitable distribution of money. Calls for a creation of a social equity council. The purpose of the council is to ensure the adult use program is equitable. As I mentioned, this need is apparent when taking into consideration communities, as I mentioned, that were impacted by the war on drugs. And it encourages economic growth and development in these communities as disproportionately impacted areas. And more than 200 of the state's 833 census tracts qualify as disproportionately impacted areas. That's almost a quarter, based on their unemployment rates and historical drug conviction rates. And that includes several communities in the CROG region. And under the framework of the legalization bill, signed into law, residents of those neighborhoods or those who grew up there can pay lower licensing fees. And that's the framework that I was talking about that is being worked on, and we should know the details of that in the coming weeks. So getting into our region, we've got a fair number of communities that have not that have not made any kind of motion to regulate or not regulate yet. We have currently, from what I have received, since I am the zoning referrals guy as well, I have received 15 moratoriums, and that does not include the communities outside of our region that have sent me moratoriums. There have been a handful of those as well. 15 communities with moratoriums, 14 I have not received anything from, and that could either be that it's been that you've not permitted it and it happened in the past and I don't have record of it, or there's been nothing done on that so far. In our region, 3 communities have decided to not permit the sale of cannabis, while 6 have moved to legalize, and those include, and they, it's not necessarily been passed in all of these communities, I should mention, but as of right now, I've received referrals, and they have been, and some have implemented, from East Hartford, East Windsor, Hartford, Manchester, Newington, and Vernon. I know for a fact that Newington has moved to adopt, and I know that Hartford has been quickly moving to adopt, as well as East Hartford has adopted as well. Some of the other communities I've not found enough information on. So that with that, it's a very new process here in the state. So it's, you know, probably best to look into regulations that have taken place outside of the state. Massachusetts is one of the states in New England that has moved to adopt cannabis, legalized cannabis sales. It was a very slow process, but they have finally been able to fully implement it. The one such town that has moved to adopt it, kind of Hartford's Massachusetts cousin, if you will, Springfield, right up the road, has adopted it. This went into effect in 2018. One of the things that is noted with this, and this is going to be brought up a lot with this and our other case study town, is that Massachusetts state law requires cannabis establishments to have a host community agreement with the municipalities. That is specifically not legal in the state of Connecticut. You cannot do a host community agreement with any kind of cannabis, any business that wants to do business there, not legal. So wanted to get that off the bat. They did a lot of community outreach ahead of time, and they also needed special permitting approval by the city. Not surprising. I mean, most liquor stores also require the. So, in terms of their specific zoning regulations, it's permitted in. So not all commercial business districts. I know. I've been getting a notification now that my internet's slightly unstable. So apologies if I go and cut it and out occasionally. So all industrial districts are also permitted for cannabis sales, but only on predetermined streets as well. The very, very interesting caveat that it's permitted in all these areas, but very narrow in terms of where you can actually locate it. They are not allowed within 500 feet of pre-existing public or private, grade schools. There cannot be within 500 feet of a residential zoned district or residence. And they regulate the sale and deliveries. They do not allow for drive-throughs as well. They also regulate the size of these establishments. They do not permit sales and deliveries between the hours of 9 and 8. They also put in a bunch of additional signage restrictions and requirements. So state law does require signage to be regulated, but towns, cities can also impose their own additional signage restrictions as well. They also regulate that cannabis and paraphernalia cannot be visible from the sidewalk or public way. So it's got to be kind of shut in, and there's got to be odor control as well. So no odors present from the exterior of the building, and that includes also areas that sell as well. So what do we find? That they also find that the regulations cap the number of establishments. They have very little flexibility making and so that makes licensing difficult to achieve. And this in turn hurts a lot of the small businesses, and cannabis right now is having a lot of difficulty with bringing in small players into. And this is also in effect for minority businesses as well. And with Boston, it's a much bigger city, but they only had their first minority-owned business, cannabis business, go into business. It was either in 2019 or 2020. So it took over 3 years for that to go into effect. That's a long time. And so the more restrictive the zoning codes and practices are, it will in turn hurt those small and minority businesses. So let's move up the road a little bit to Northampton, Mass. They adopted their zoning regulations much earlier in 2018, and they have a big city webpage dedicated to this medical and adult use cannabis process, the link of which I can put in the chat if anybody is interested in checking that out at all. They had a community outreach meeting. They wanted a lot of public input. And so as a result, residents voted overwhelmingly in favor of implementing the legalized sale of cannabis in the town. So heavy public buy-in from the community. So a little bit in terms of the zoning, they are allowed in all business districts as compared to Springfield, where they heavily regulate where it can be. Northampton, it's a little more liberal in terms of where you can place it. It does require a parking plan, and the design of the building does have to be consistent with the character of the neighborhood. They do not permit drive-throughs as well. And so they are also not permitted within 200 feet of a grade school. They require a planted buffer strip between an establishment and a residential district, I guess for beautification purposes. And they do not have any additional signage requirements, as Springfield did. Northampton has decided to tone it down on the signage and just do what the state says. They also they're also involved in some odor control as well. So what do we find from Northampton? We have a little bit of greater flexibility in zoning regulations compared to Springfield down the road. And then, so the subject of the same regulations as similar businesses. So like other retail and hotels, restaurants, et cetera, and so these current establishments can then be easily incorporated into the community, and they can just be, you know, located alongside other convenience stores in the town, or, other personal services and whatnot, you know, liquor sales as well. So a much easier way forward for that is, compared to just down the road. And while there's many other towns in Massachusetts that have moved to adopt, try to get in contact with some of the people up there. Fortunately, we couldn't bring any of them into this meeting. But let's move over to the state of Illinois and the town of Lake Zurich. I believe it must be outside of Chicago, like northwest of Chicago. And recreational cannabis in Illinois became legal in June of 2019. And Lake Zurich, like much of the towns in this region, have introduced a moratorium on cannabis establishments. But afterwards, they lifted the moratorium in December of 2020. And the question is, Why do they do that? They observed a lot of economic development, and the revenue of sales in surrounding communities was a huge driver of that. And they conducted a survey to gain some feedback from residents, a lot of public outreach. And so they also did, you know, focus groups and were really asked about what their opinions were on recreational cannabis, and what types of establishments they wanted to see. And so overall, 60% of the town ended up supporting it, which is a pretty sizable amount of people. And eventually it was adopted by the village, and they did a dedicated website for recreational adult use cannabis, which the link is here and I can also provide you. So their zoning regulations, it's permitted in all but two of the non-residential zoning districts, so commercial, industrial, business, etc. They do allow for delivery, but they restrict the sale of hours of sales from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. They also have additional restrictions as well. The establishments cannot be within 1,500 feet of another establishment. This being cannabis, retail cannabis establishment, and that is under the Illinois state law. The cannabis and paraphernalia cannot be visible from a sidewalk or public way. That's kind of consistent with what a lot of states do. You can't be within 500 feet of schools, nor within 250 feet of parks. So what do we find from that? The community was very actively involved in the process, as it was in Northampton. But this was a little more different because they waited to see what was going to happen, and then kind of piggybacked off of what towns did. And so it probably also allowed for them to adopt some very flexible regulations. And so kind of taking their time and being able to see what's worked and what hasn't allowed them to adapt these regulations. They also repealed the prior regulations for medical use, and now recreational and medical cannabis fall under the same regulations. So simplicity, and so that simplifies your zoning code and is easier to understand for people. And it is still very much a work in progress. Lake Zurich is still formalizing the final regulations before they put it into effect. So with that, that's all we have. But I will say this is very much a work in progress for us. Norell is flushing out the report and trying to make it something that we can provide to not just you guys as planning and zoning board members, but town planners, town staff, town council people. This is something that can be useful to a lot of different stakeholders once this is fully implemented. So we're going to continue working on it. We're going to find some more case studies, best practices. We hope to have a lot more information in the coming weeks and months. And so with that, I don't know if I'm going to be able to answer a ton of questions since Norella has done a lot of the work and she's sadly not here, but I can try to answer them as best I can. And if I can't, I can try to forward them to her and see if I can get an answer. So thank you very much.
Chris, we've got a couple of questions in the chat, and I also do see that Stan has his hand raised. I don't know what you think you might want to address first. I suppose, Stan, if you want to yourself, we can get to your question first, and then we'll go through what's in the chat.
Thank you. We have had a place on a Berlin Turnpike for medical marijuana for a while, and that's worked out very well. I guess where I got a little confused after listening to Chris's presentation is medical marijuana, is that subject to the 3% sales tax as the regular cannabis would be? That's number one.
No, go ahead.
All right. Number two, we are going to be opening up the entire Berlin Turnpike and probably some other areas to cannabis shops. Basically, we look at it as if it's a liquor store, keeping it away from schools and churches. But I think it may be a great revenue generator for the town. You know, that's the plus side. The minus side would be somebody abusing, you know, like you go to a package store, you buy something to drink, and you have an accident. Could happen, you know. But other than that, I think it's a great move. I think because it obviously, and I'm 73, the drug war has been on for a long time. They haven't seemed to really make a dent in anything. And the last thing I want to say is I think that it's about time that we kind of move into the 20-some-odd century, whatever it is. But I think, and your report was excellent. I'm very happy with what you presented. And thank you.
Oh, thank you. I do not know if medical and retail is taxed in the same way, to be quite honest. That's something that we can look into and put into the final report to see if we have, if there is an answer for that. We'll go to Jay, and then I'm going to jump into the chat questions as well. So, Jay, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that the law restricts facilities. First of all, nothing on site. You have to sell it to take home. And number two is that at the moment, you can only have one facility for every 50,000. I'm sorry, every 25,000 population. So it's a slow start. And in Manchester, that means we'll have two.
Okay. And then I know that there's also some provisions in the regulations for use, but that is only for towns that are above, I believe it's 50,000 in population. So there's only a handful of towns in our region that can take advantage of that as well. So, and I don't believe that anyone has moved to do anything about that, because I don't think anybody really knows how that's going to shake out.
You're talking about use on site?
I think it's use. I don't think it's use on site, but I'm fuzzy on what the regulations actually say, because I don't have that in front of me. But yes. I know Norella's.
I don't remember. Yeah. I know it's two facilities in Manchester. I'm not sure whether it's 25,000 or 50,000 is the cutoff, but it's going to be a slow start, and equity is going to be a problem with the initial breakout.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to jump into the chat from Tom Manning in Bolton, who was having some audio difficulties, so he can only post these. This is in regards to the social equity applicants. What if the town is only allocated one license? I don't know if that is an answer that I have. I know that with the Social Equity Council is determining a lot of what will count as equity. And I think that that's going to be something that we know in the coming weeks as to what this is going to mean ultimately for a lot of these companies that want to do business. Can the buffer strip be planted with cannabis? Not sure. Not sure if that would be that would fly. It would be decorative, but I don't know if that would fly with folks. From Brennan Malone, do we have any information on crime statistics involving cannabis, recreational cannabis, and after legalization in Colorado or other states, and how many incidents of OUIs, DUIs, related accidents. That's something we can definitely look into. I'm curious as to what those would be prior to legalization and after legalization to see if there's any change in what would happen if that's at all a factor, or if that would just be kind of just kind of background noise, if you will. But it's certainly something that we can take a look at before as well. From Bart, Pasconis, does Massachusetts have limits on retail establishments similar to Connecticut? I kind of don't want to say no, and I don't want to say yes necessarily. I don't think it's as restrictive as Connecticut's is in terms of how many facilities you can have per 25, per number of people. I think that that's up for the town to decide in each case. But in a lot of cases, the towns themselves, it looks like, have made it so that they kind of drag their feet and in setting up these facilities. So even if there's, we only want like one or two in their zoning, they're kind of fuzzy on their zoning regulations, especially with their the HCA agreements, the host community agreements. Those can really gum up the system, and towns can just drag their feet in determining where and when they can, put establishments. So that's all I have in the chat. Stan, I see that you still have your hand up.
Yes, one quick thing. I think it was Colorado was one of the first states to legalize cannabis.
Yes.
You might want to see how they've done it. I think that's been over, I think maybe 10 years now.
It's been, I think, since 2013. It's been a long while.
So maybe you might want to include that in your study, as a suggestion.
Yeah, okay. I think that Norell has looked into, Boulder. Yeah, I think she looked into Boulder, which is a bit of a big town. I also told her to when we were discussing this before this meeting and trying to come together with what she had put together. I recommended the town of Lyons, Colorado, which is about halfway between Boulder and Estes Park, which is a bit more of a small town. It's pretty remote. Not really a bedroom community to Denver at all. So I'm curious to see what we will have regarding that. Excuse me, as well.
All right,
so we will definitely have towns from Colorado. I think we may also have one from Washington State, which was another one of the first places to adopt as well. So we will have plenty of case studies from those areas. One final chat question from Brendan. Has anybody looked at Gary's comment from last month's meeting? Are cannabis licenses transferable from an applicant to someone else who just wants to buy a license? Not sure on that. I can get an answer for that. But I do not know that off the top of my head. That's all I've got for questions that have been submitted. Does anyone have anything else to add?
All right. If there's no other questions, we can move on to the next agenda item.
Okay. The next one is zoning referrals. Okay, so for our zoning and subdivision referrals, It's not the, I should clarify that it is the, it's the email that I sent out this afternoon. It is not the one that is on the website. So it's just three this time around. Very easy to deal with. We have Manchester's zoning amendment pertaining to retail cannabis uses and acceptable zones for said uses. Hartford's barbershop, beauty salon, and spa locations, and additional acceptable zones for cannabis retailers in Newington. All don't have a ton of regional impact or conflict with our POCD or regional plans. So not a lot this time around, which is great because I've been just drowning in zoning referrals for it seems like the past 3 months.
Would someone like to make a motion to approve the referrals?
Stanley Sobieski, I'd like to make a motion to accept the referrals.
Art Pasikonis, I'd second that motion.
Any further comments or discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Okay, moving on to the next agenda item.
Meeting dates. So for 2022, need to approve what dates we want to meet. This is consistent with what we did this year. So I believe fourth Thursday of every third month, with the exception of the fourth quarter, which we kick it to November before Thanksgiving. So if there is no movement to go to a different day, different time, different day of the week, different part of the month, that would mean March 24th, 2022, June 23rd, 2022, September 22nd, 2022, and November 17th, 2022. Not sure if anyone has any comments, questions, things that they would, dates that they would prefer, but that is what I have put together.
Does anyone have any feedback?
Hopefully we can do it in person.
That's something else we can discuss in the other business, whether or not we want to move back to in person or not. I am not sure about in person meeting, like where in person meetings stand necessarily. So that's something that we can definitely discuss.
I think being that I work quite closely with Pauline, and she manages, is our COO doing operations and whatnot. I think the way that she has it kind of planned out right now is every 2 weeks, just checking the CDC website to see where the transmission rates are for Hartford, Hartford County. And she wants it to fall below a certain percentage rate for a particular period of time and be consistent over that period of time before I think we start going back to having a full office with, no masks in our common areas and also full in-person meetings. There might be some possibility of doing a sort of hybrid situation depending on the size of meetings, but I think that's kind of what we're looking at right now going forward, at least. Could change any minute. I mean, we've all kind of been flying by the seat of our pants here the last almost 2 years now. So we'll see. I hope that helps.
All right. If no one else has any comments, there is one in here from Tom that he's got a complete meeting in September. Would someone like to make a motion to approve the schedule for the 2022 meeting?
Generally, so be it.
Cindy Cooper.
Make a motion to approve.
All right. I'll second Cindy Cooper.
Any further comments or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Moving on to the next agenda item. What's new in my town? I'll start. Plainville's been actually pretty quiet. We haven't had a ton of things on our agenda. Nothing truly controversial. We did have one applicant for a zone change that was going to be from residential to two different zones that was unanimously denied. There was tons of town member resident feedback on that and contribution through the public hearing, but other than that, we've been pretty quiet. Who else?
Stanley Sobieski, Newington. We have a application that's gone on for like three meetings now to change a residential section of a residential zone to a PD. The residents have come out in opposition to this, to at least 150 of them. So we're going to be voting on that and see what happens. You know, they want to put in 225 apartments, and that's why they want to change it to a PD zone. Other than that, it's been pretty quiet. Thank you.
This is Brendan Malone. Sorry, this is Brendan Malone from the town of Suffield. We have been working on our plan of conservation and development. Hopefully that's getting wrapped up soon. And we also have had a few joint meetings on recreational cannabis. Decided that we weren't going to seek a moratorium. We were going to go ahead and try to craft regulations in preparation for a possible, you know, licenses, you know, being applied for. So the Planning and Zoning Commission will be working on that. Sadly, they'll be doing it without me. This is actually my last CROG meeting, and I no longer am on my town's Planning and Zoning Commission. So just want to say thanks to everybody. And Mark Winnie will be my replacement. He's on the call today. So anyways, welcome, Mark.
Thank you, Brandon, for all your time that you've been so helpful with the commission. Who else would like to contribute something about what's new?
Okay, this is Jay Stoppelman. We, in our last meeting, we changed our plan of conservation in terms of character to match the recently passed legislation. We changed our rules as far as ADUs to allow ADUs in all residential zones. And we restricted parking to match the recently passed state legislation. We're also looking at training and establishing a committee on housing affordability subcommittee.
Thanks, Jay. Does anyone else have anything to contribute?
Meg Harvey, Town of Windsor. At our last meeting, which was in early November, we had a public forum as part of our meeting on just to hear residents' input on recreational cannabis establishments in Windsor. We have a moratorium now, but we were trying to gauge public feeling on whether to move forward with regulations that would permit an establishment. By population, we only qualify for one. And while the forum wasn't super well attended, the people that did come were definitely more positive than negative. So we're moving forward to develop some regulations that would guide where one of these establishments could or couldn't open up in Windsor.
Thanks, Meg. Yep. It looks like Tom Bolton had added that they had a presentation on their affordable housing plan, and it will be adopted as an amendment to the plan of conservation and development. Meg, did you have something else?
Nope, that was it.
Okay, thanks.
Art Pasikonis, South Windsor. We recently celebrated our opening of Costco on Tuesday. We have a few upcoming projects at Evergreen Walk. We just approved another change to the general plan there. There'll be other changes coming forward, and site plan applications. We just met on Tuesday and put a cannabis moratorium in place. And, last Friday, we had a current medical marijuana establishment that filed for a retail license for recreational cannabis, which took us a little by surprise, as they've been in contact with us for many months, we're kind of in uncharted water, and we have our attorney looking into that. So that's about all I've got right now.
Would anyone else like to contribute what's new in their town? If not, we can move on to the next agenda item. Items for other business.
One thing that I will mention to the folks is that we have just completed our housing or affordable housing assessment that I presented on at the last meeting. I am pasting into the chat the final report and executive summary. If folks want to go ahead and I sent them just to Laura. Oops. Okay, so that's the executive summary. Let me go get the full report. That's there. So if you are interested in reading the results of the study and some of the additional details that I did not get into, it is there for your enjoyment, if you will.
Thanks, Chris.
The other note that I will make is in terms of ideas for our March meeting. If anyone has any suggestions or would like to hear anything specific, please, you can either shout at me now or let me know via email. You guys have my email. You get all my lovely zoning referral stuff anyway. So if any of you are have any ideas, shout it out or just shoot me an email.
We had the list of, I think there were three or four topics on there that we addressed, and two or three of them now. Is there anything left on that list when we had done that little survey?
Yeah, let me pull that up here. Hide that because I can't see anything. Okay. Where is that? RPC meeting topics. Okay, so there were four topics that I had kind of presented. So the two that have been done is the affordable housing and cannabis best practices. The other two that I mentioned in this is outdoor dining and related placemaking or natural hazard mitigation.
Does anybody have an interest in either of those topics or any additional topics? We're kind of at an interesting time of year for the outdoor dining. I see some places that had the igloos last year have switched back to the igloos this year, just as the temperatures are dropping. And I'm seeing a lot of the some are adding the sidewall to the outdoor tents. I know they're trying to be very careful with the outdoor heaters. They either have the tents or they're going to have the heaters, not both, just for the fire risk.
Tom Manning has put his hand up for natural hazard mitigation. So, we could do either of those. So, but if folks want to hear about natural hazard mitigation, we can make that happen.
Again, if the plans for highways around Hartford start to go someplace, we'd like to hear what the current version is.
Okay. Yeah, we can put that down on the list.
Other than the topic of, you know, if and when we can go back to in person, does anyone else have anything to discuss under other business? If not, our next item on the agenda.
I think that is it for the agenda.
Okay. So if no one has anything else to add, I want to again thank Stanley and Brendan for their service and time with us. You will both be very much missed. You've given great contributions to all of us. And I also want to wish everyone happy, healthy holidays. Please be safe and enjoy some time off, hopefully, from the day-to-day to, you know, imbibe in some self-care and time with family and friends.
Thanks, Jennifer. You too.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Would someone like to make a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Do I hear a second?
Cindy Cooper will second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. And have a happy new year as well.
Yes. See you all on March 24th.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you.